Hi there. Have you ever wondered how your brain transforms as you learn English? This English lesson looks at how learning a new language like English actually rewires your brain, creating new neural connections. Imagine this. Every time you listen to spoken English, your brain is weaving new connections and pathways that weren't there before. Sounds like magic, doesn't it? But this is what happens every time you listen. And it's these new neural pathways, N-E-U-R-A-L, that you will use when you come to speak. Recent scientific discoveries have shown that this is not just an idea, but a reality. A new piece of research, neuroscientific research, was published just last week, and it confirms learning a new language builds new connections in your brain. The study is called The Brain Rewires Itself When Learning a Second Language. Highly relevant and interesting to us. So let's explore this today and let's link it to your language learning. Hello, I'm Hilary and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. In some senses, this is a piece of research that I read, cutting-edge research from the Max Planck Institute for Human Cognitive and Brain Sciences in Leipzig. It made me think, well, what else did they think was happening? Why is this news? But I think the point is that the ideas which result from this research have been long thought true, it's just now we have proof, P-R-O-O-F, evidence that this is what happens. The study revealed that as learners progressed, their brain's language networks grew, proving that language learning causes physical changes in the brain. This makes our method of language learning all the more compelling. Let's make this personal. Think back to when you learned a skill. Through repetition, that skill, S-K-I-L-L. A skill is an ability that you're not born with, but which you acquire through practice. So something like swimming or riding a bike, it happens through repetition. You start from scratch, you struggle a bit. Maybe you fell off your bike and cut your knee. It's important not to be put off by setbacks. Sometimes it's hard to keep up the belief that you'll succeed in the end. But you get back on the bike and you continue. Repetition, repetition. And gradually through practice, you arrive at being able to ride a bike or at being able to swim. And this is exactly how English works. It's not about cramming vocabulary or drilling grammar. It's about immersing yourself in the language, listening, practicing, repeating until the words and phrases have inserted themselves into your brain and then they flow naturally, just like they do in your first language. The research from the Max Planck Institute caught my eye because it was specifically about language learning. But actually, what the research says is also true of many things that we learn. First of all, different types of learning. I think it's useful to understand that acquiring a skill is something different from the sort of learning that we did much of the time in school. And I believe the most useful way to see your language learning is as acquiring a skill, different from what we call academic learning. For example, if you learn history at school, this activity is great as it helps children learn to think, be logical, put an argument. And actually, passing your history exam is about being able to remember facts and make a good argument using those facts. Being able to do that is important in life, of course, which is why history is seen as an important academic subject. But when we talk about acquiring a skill, something else is going on. Lots of activities, things we learn, things we become good at are skills. So a skill is an ability you're not born with, but which you acquire through practice, through repetition. Whether that's swimming, keepy-uppies in football, juggling balls, riding a bike, or driving a car. We start off not being able to do something, and then we practice and we improve and we get better. And eventually, if we carry on, we acquire that skill. And often, skills are seen as remarkable because people who haven't practiced simply can't do what we can do, and therefore they find it impressive. You're familiar with this idea, I'm sure, or you certainly recognize it when I describe it. And this is the basis of language learning. Studying Shakespeare in English may be useful or interesting at an academic level or not, but it's not going to help you much with your fluency or your English conversation in a coffee shop. Instead, what helps you with these things is practice, and specifically in the first instance, listening practice. That's how you become good at English. That's how you become fluent. And this is the basis of the adept English way of learning. So acquiring a language like English as your own, meaning you can speak it fluently, is in my view firmly in the category of a skill, not an academic piece of learning. So this piece of research, and I include some links in the transcript, which you'll find on our website at adeptenglish.com, comes from scientists at the Max Planck Institute for Human Cognitive and Brain Sciences in Leipzig, Germany. The research involved 59 people who were native Arabic speakers and who were learning the German language in a controlled 6-month intensive course aimed at fluency in German useful in everyday life. The study used MRI imaging, magnetic resonance imaging, to look at their brains, at their neural networks. Those are the connections that we all have in our brains. And neural, N-E-U-R-A-L, just means to do with the brain. So they did MRI scans at the start of language learning, in the middle, and at the end of language learning over a period of 6 months. The results showed, and I'm quoting here, that as language learning progressed, stronger connections were formed in the language skill regions on both sides of the brain, and that it could be concluded that the process of learning German was demanding enough to create major alterations in the brain circuitry. The word circuitry, C-I-R-C-U-I-T-R-Y, is borrowed from the physics of electricity. Circuitry is where there are wires and connections that the electricity flows through. But the word circuitry is apt when talking about the networks in our brains. We also talk about how our brains are wired. More electrical idioms for the brain. Maybe this is less surprising in the context of language learning, but I think that we sometimes misunderstand skill acquisition in other contexts. In English, when we're talking about one of these learned physical skills, whether football keepy uppies or playing the piano or tennis, we sometimes talk about muscle memory, M-U-S-C-L-E-S, as though the muscles in our arms and legs somehow remember what to do, as though the skill, the information about how to do something, is somehow stored in our muscles. It's not, and this is misleading. Information is only ever and can only ever be part of our brain function. So when we practice something, we are literally building new neural networks in our brain. To some extent, this explains why learning makes us tired and makes us hungry. We're literally building new connections in our brains. Physical changes are taking place when we learn. No wonder we're hungry and tired afterwards. We understand the brain well enough now to know that something like trauma can change the brain very, very quickly. But skill acquisition happens slowly. We need many repeated experiences, and we know this instinctively. We might say to our children, go and do your piano practice, or, oh, you need to do your swimming lesson, or let's take you out on that bike again and see if you can stay upright this time. We know instinctively that learning a skill requires repetition. And when it comes to language learning, it can be something that people find really difficult or which people are self-critical about. I'm no good at languages is something people say to themselves. I'm no good at language learning. I'm no good at English. I would say that this is unlikely to be true. You are probably very skilled at speaking your first language. And if you're down on yourself because your English isn't progressing as you would like, it's more likely to be because you've underestimated how much repetition and practice your brain needs to acquire the skill. That and the fact that languages are often taught in schools and colleges as though they're simply another academic subject, like learning history. They're not. They're a skill, and therefore many hours of practice are needed to acquire that skill. It's more like riding a bike than it is learning history. If you give your brain the right experience, those many hours of practice, it will repay you. Our human brains are wonderfully designed to respond to practicing. It's a large part of how we learn. So I hope this is encouraging. Don't be down on yourself as a language learner. If you aren't where you would like to be in your journey of learning English, it's probably because you've not practiced enough yet, or you've been encouraged to learn English in that academic way, as though it's the same as learning history. Cramming unrelated vocabulary items for a test is not the best way to learn. Give yourself a different way of learning and you will see how much more success, how much more understanding and eventually much more fluency you attain. Encourage yourself by thinking about how every time you listen to spoken English, new neural pathways are gradually being built in your brain. If you want more help with this or you'd like further information on how to do this sort of language learning, sign up for our free course, The 7 Rules of Adept English. The value of repetition and practice for language learning is only one of the many tips and pieces of advice on this course. Equipped with this information and understanding, your language learning will speed up. Keep learning and remember your brain is adapted to language learning. With persistence, it's capable of amazing transformation. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.